All right, we got Beef Erickson on the mic, already using a little profanity.
Already you're physically restraining me from the mic.
Let me just start and hit the reset button for all our listeners and talk about what the show is going to be about before your
Chinese food breath is in my face. Which is that Duncan and Lane are sharing a mic, and Duncan literally has
food,
a hand in
food
Lane's
nicknames.
Face.
Food nicknames only.
Marco Polo and Beef Erickson are sharing a mic, and Beef Erickson just got a stiff arm to the face.
Can I say something about our theme song, which I love so much? Franklin, thank you. Wait, we're doing theme nicknames only. What's your nickname again?
Veal Parmstrong.
Veal. Thank you so much for that theme song. I love it so much. Do you guys ever listen to the show in like half speed or like 1.5 speed? Do you guys ever do that with podcasts?
We've already gone off the rails. Duncan, take over.
Beef, just sit back for 1 second while I give the intro.
The theme song sounds so good when you do it. Like,
this is the Culineers Radio Hour. A lot of people are saying, well, what are the Culineers again? The Culineers are LA's most manly and adventurous dining club. We dine around the city. And we had a big month this month. We shot our TV pilot. And before Beef Erickson interrupts, I just want to pass the mic over to Veal Parmstrong, who's going to talk about where we ate and who our special guest is, which I'm very, very excited about.
I think we'll save where we ate and get to that because I am so excited to introduce Aaron Eastland.
Special guest.
Hello.
Executive chef at Milo and Olive and Huckleberry.
That's right.
Oh, Milo and Otis. I love that movie.
Mm. Is it pronounced Milo or Milo?
It's Milo. Please, everyone, it's Milo.
Okay,
please.
PSA.
Why would it be pronounced Milo?
I don't know. It just
no
is.
One does.
Yeah, we're excited to have Erin. She's a big-time chef. We went to college together, and now she's famous.
Erin, go ahead and tuck right on into that microphone. Thank you so much for coming out and joining us tonight, and thank you for coming to dinner tonight. Did you have fun at dinner?
I did. It was amazing. All the parts of it.
Erin, let me ask you, just because Franklin brought up that you went to college together, did he ever write you a poem?
No, you didn't.
I heard he was quite the poet in college.
Really?
Maybe I have one, and you've just never seen it before.
All right.
This is College Hazing Radio, if you're just tuning in. Our guests are Duncan Birmingham and Franklin Hardy. So, oh, sorry, we're not supposed to use real names. Our guests are our horrible food pun, and what are our nicknames again?
Erin, I'm usually not this much of a stickler on the show, but I did just listen to all the episodes back to back, and I came away with two takeaways. One, I think there's no more eating on the air. I don't know if that's good radio. And two, I think it is confusing when we use both our names and our nom de plumes.
I'm glad you finally listened to the radio show. I really appreciate that, buddy. I appreciate you putting in the time to actually listen to the fucking show that we're making here.
Yeah, that's great effort.
Lane, your mom's listening, so let's keep it down with the F-bombs.
Erin, tell us a little bit about, all right, where do we go? Let's talk about the dinner we had, because that was amazing, right?
Wasn't that really good? Yes.
I was talking in the car ride with Duncan on the way back, like, you could franchise that spice. Like, that's something.
Where did we go for our listeners?
Oh, sorry. We went to this Chinese Muslim place. I feel like I'm
Omar's.
It's called Omar's. It's Chinese Muslim, right?
It's, Islamic Chinese food. And I think it's unique to the southwestern region of China. So it's a blend of kind of like Middle Eastern flavors and Chinese flavors. A lot of lamb, very spicy, some Szechuan peppers.
Veal, where'd you dig this place up?
Out of my back pocket, Duncan. Marco, sorry.
We sent Erin in first, and because we were dragging ass and we didn't show up on time. And I love it. We were texting her, and we were like, ask them if we can bring in booze. What'd they say?
It was a pretty clear no.
They were like, hell no, you cannot bring alcohol into our... It's a tiny, tiny restaurant, right?
Maybe 20 people tops.
Yeah. Cash only.
And I felt like the waitress gave us a little bit of attitude when she first came over because she thought of us as the alcohol crew.
Yeah.
I think she gives a lot of attitude.
We won her over.
We did.
But, I mean, yeah, so they had this, like, cucumber salad that had this, like, just tongue-numbing spice. And, like, it didn't taste spicy on the way down, but you just, like, were literally... Erin's shaking her head. Erin, for radio, throw me in verbally.
Okay.
It wasn't Right? You know what I'm saying?
Cool,
like it was
and spicy, but not hot.
Exactly. Exactly. I felt high. I felt literally high eating that spice.
I believe Veal and I had similar peppercorns at Szechuan Impressions a couple weeks ago.
We had those mouth-numbing peppercorns at Szechuan Impression. They blew your palate out completely. This was like a little more subtle. I thought it was good. It didn't destroy you, but it was a hint of it.
That's interesting because, that's why I think of peppercorns. It's like it's going to blow you out. But this was this was like a lot softer sort of it creeped on you. It's a creeper.
Aaron, what did you think of the food overall? What did you like? What were the highlights?
I'm a pasta girl, so the noodles, which I'm assuming were handmade because they were sort of rustic and
so good.
Kind of inconsistent in texture and size. And
those noodles were fantastic.
So good. And in a super rich sauce, which is always huge for noodles. And that was my favorite by far.
We cut them with the scissors.
We did. They came with scissors. There was a lot of things that came with the food that was fun, I thought.
Have you guys ever seen that scene from, what's that Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra, where he eats pizza with scissors? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
No. Before my time. There were a lot of fun props. We also used plastic gloves.
You gotta Google Sylvester Stallone pizza scissors. It's hilarious.
No, I don't. We also used plastic gloves to eat lamb's feet.
But she didn't tell us. She just handed us the gloves.
Very hot lamb's feet.
Yeah.
And we got that sort of look that we get a lot as Guy Jens when we go in and order some crazy shit where they're like, we'll take the lamb's feet. And she's like, no, you don't want that. And we're like, yeah, we want that. Right, guys?
Right. We were definitely the outsiders at this restaurant. I've got to say, even the table next was seemed a little impressed by our order, I thought. And by the time we left, I thought we kind of had proven ourselves.
They seemed like regulars, and they were blown away by what we were eating. They didn't even know what it was. They were like, where did you find that?
I think they really loved how many Instagrams I was dropping. I think they thought that was really cool.
I feel like we were on, like, a high from, like, how fucking dope that dinner was tonight. Like, honestly, that was amazing. Like,
well, let's run through what we had. What else? So we had the cold garlic cucumbers. Those were really good.
Right.
We had
the meat pie was fantastic.
Oh, the meat pie was so good.
Had like a ground lamb in it. Right?
Dripping grease off it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But the other thing I liked about this was that you were saying that Jonathan Gold, I don't think has eaten here, right?
I don't know that he hasn't eaten there for a fact. He hasn't reviewed it that I could find online.
Gold is my, my hero, my personal food savior. I love this guy so much. The only food critic ever won a Pulitzer Prize. And to go to a place.
Pulitzer?
To go to a place that he is not quite on his radar, and it seemed like such a small little place that it might have been off his radar, and it was so fucking good, right?
I do have one regret from dinner. The one thing we didn't order was the haggis soup, and I thought that was interesting. I thought haggis was strictly Scottish.
I have no explanation for that. It's Chinese, it's Islamic, and they have haggis. I'm baffled.
Listeners, fans, friends, you got to go there. You got to go to Omar's in the SGV. It's the best.
Lane, don't blow up our spot. We don't want our spot, like, besieged by, yokels.
Sorry. Nobody go there.
Am I right?
Sorry. All right. So let's take a quick break for commercial. We're going to thank some of our sponsors. Duncan, who's sponsoring our show this week?
We're not going to do that bit. Aaron, bonjour. Now, I think you're our first guest who has ever been to the French Culinary Institute.
Oh, I see.
It was a big day in France today. We're not going to get into the political side of it, but I did want to ask, how rigorous was it, how long was it, and what was the biggest thing you learned at the French Culinary Institute?
Okay. My program was short. It was 6 months, which is what I wanted because I had come out of college and didn't want a lot of schooling after that.
Understandable.
But I loved all of it, and I spent so much time studying and learning there, which I should have done in college, but there were other things to do in college.
Drugs.
No, I didn't say that.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
Where is the French Culinary
Institute? It's in New York City, but everybody assumes when you say that you're going to the CIA. It's not. It's a smaller one down sort of Soho area. And I learned all the things I needed in life there. as far as I was concerned.
Was it rigorous? I'm picturing like whiplash, but it's about how sharp your knives are.
It was properly intimidating. There were kids that were 18 and didn't know what to do, and so they were sort of stuck in culinary school because their parents needed them to do something. But then there were hardcore people that were career changers and really wanting to kind of move forward with this. And it was a good mix of that, so you could kind of figure out what you wanted. And there were some teachers that were really strict and kind of scary and really enjoying that part of it. And then there were some really cool ones that would come and have a drink with you after class. And actually, when I graduated, I was like, I'm going to be a culinary school teacher. That's what I want to do. Oh, cool. This is cool. These guys are cool. Everyone respects them. And I didn't do that, obviously. But
did you ever think that you would ever possibly, in your wildest dreams, be on Culinary's Radio as a result of all your hard work?
No, this is what I've been working for.
Okay.
I was going to ask how many years you'd been a fan of the Culinary's, if it was like 2 years or like 4 years.
It's exactly 2 years.
Exactly 2 years. Oh, yeah. Okay, good, good, good.
Speaking of the Culinary's, Aaron, we'll get back to you in a second. And thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. But should we maybe talk about the sort of the big news in the Culinary's world that's going on right now? Or
I think we should.
I'm going to throw it over Franklin. Franklin, what's been going on in the Culinary's world these days?
Well, our listeners will know that we've had a little bit of a television project in the works for a while now.
What?
It came to fruition a couple weeks ago. We shot what they call a sizzle reel in the biz, which was we went out and
sizzle
in the bizzle, and we brought a camera crew and
where'd we go?
We went to Jai Budo, Korean seafood barbecue. Then we went to Dollar Hits, which is a Filipino storefront with barbecue charcoal grills in the parking lot where you just buy skewers and cook up your own meat. Then we hit a taco place in Boyle Heights, and then we partied all night long, and it was all on film, and we're cutting it together. We're going to make a little sizzle, and we're going to go sell it to somewhere.
I thought it was a good sign when after the taco truck, everyone was tired. It had been a long day, but the crew still came back to my place to crush beers because they thought we were that awesome.
Can I also tell you my favorite part was we went to Dollar Hits, which
Beef Erickson wasn't there at that point.
Aaron, if you've never been to Dollar Hits, it's super gross. It's just like this parking lot where they like just grill like
super
raw.
Super gross? That doesn't sound like a culinary's
intense meat.
We don't use that word, Lance.
And they had a sign up saying we do not sell chicken intestines any longer. Like per the what? Like the not
they
FDA.
Were the biggest hit there, and we didn't.
They're
want
not allowed
that.
To
they
show.
They got shut down. They didn't like
chicken
there
intestines.
Was something about the intestines.
If you go to the Filipino Dollar Hits Facebook page, you'll see pictures of people lining up down the streets for the chicken
for
intestines.
The chicken intestines. So they're not allowed to sell chicken intestines anymore. So we show up there with the camera crew, and we're doing our whole thing. And what does she come out with late night? She gives us a special little secret
chicken intestine. And they were delicious.
Skewer.
They were amazing.
They're a little gamey, but they're interesting. They're interesting. I mean, do you want to taste the digestive tract of a chicken?
They wash it out.
I thought they were really good.
They don't.
We'd had the pork intestines, and those were so-so. But the chicken intestines were – but they had
they
pork
intestines. They were too delicious.
But then the chicken intestines were much more delicious.
Well, that's why the alcohol kills the germs, right?
And on top of all that, they have karaoke in the parking lot. It's the best place on earth. And you can bring your own alcohol.
Duncan, did you sing your
songs? And it's full of Filipino teenagers just like partying on a Friday night.
I did. I sang I Love L.A. Unfortunately, he had it as a karaoke song, but Randy Newman was still singing it with me. It was one of those things where I was singing, but the lyrics were still coming out. And I couldn't see the lyrics, like, on his little it didn't go that well.
Classic Duncan.
Marco Pollo. All right. Well, basically, in a nutshell, I think we nailed it on the show. It'll probably be coming to Vice, Esquire, NBC.
Everything.
ABC.
I think Travel Channel. I think it's a Travel Channel.
Is that our sweet spot?
Yeah. I think it's going to be Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon. It's going to be the first tri-branded property of all time.
So, Aaron. You graduated from the French Culinary Institute, which is
thank you. Bring
not,
it back.
Not in France, apparently, but that's fine. That's cool. It's still respectable.
It's actually not even called the French Culinary Institute anymore.
Okay.
Is my research wrong?
No, it's changed their name, and I am embarrassed to tell you that I don't know the new name.
Is it too late for us to get a new guest for the show?
I would call it maybe the New York Culinary Institute.
It's something
I don't know.
Like International Institute something, but I now get different emails, and that's
sounds very authentic.
I did have 30 follow-up questions about the French Culinary Institute, so I'm going to just scrap those.
I'm obviously their ideal alumni.
So you graduated. That was in New York. Did you move straight to L.A.?
From New York, we did
come
to L.A.
I'm sorry. What happened after you graduated? Just tell me what happened.
Okay. I worked at, after culinary school, I worked at a couple different places. I worked at a cheese shop, and I ran a cheese shop for a while, and I ran a deli for a while, and I worked in a Cuban restaurant, and then...
You smell amazing, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, there was about 90 different cheeses in that place. It was a rough shower situation after every day at work. And I worked at a couple different restaurants. I did pastries, and then moved out to L.A. and worked for one place that was about 2 weeks, the only job I've ever walked off of. Meanest
really?
Lady I've ever worked for, who told
Slow?
Me I would amount to nothing. Hope
what?
You're listening.
What? Let's look her up. We name names on
the
show.
It was called The Exotic Kitchen.
Nice. Name
I don't
names.
Even think
we
it's
name
open.
Name names on this show.
You can just tell from the name. That's a shitty place.
Yeah, it was in Culver City, and she was mean. You were mean to me.
Well.
You made me a better person.
What is it about yourself and how you worked you think rubbed this woman the wrong way because she saw the raw talent that she never had?
I can't imagine what would go into this woman's mind. She was
like Duncan's summary. I think it was.
Yeah, she was a hard worker. She just was mean.
Right, hard worker that couldn't cut the mustard. Okay,
yeah.
We know what she's all about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you had the last laugh, so you worked all those places. But let me ask you a question. Coming from the East Coast to the West Coast, did you find the culinary culture very different?
Yes.
How so?
Really?
In fact, we live in Santa Monica because we happened to be looking for an apartment on Wednesday, and we happened to sort of drive by the farmer's market, and it blew my mind. There were the giantest artichokes I've ever seen, and all the produce. I couldn't believe it. So immediately decided Santa Monica was where we were living.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
The produce here is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Right. Right, guys? I'm looking at these two guys.
Unbelievable produce.
Duncan has never eaten a vegetable in his life, but yes.
Except for tonight.
I do. When I go to the farmer's market, I do like a couple circles, and I'm like, I'm not buying any of this stuff, and then I have like a pulled pork sandwich or something.
Yeah. So true. What happened? And then I was here, and then I did some freelance catering, which was fun but inconsistent. And then I worked at Cube for almost 8 years.
Loved Cube. Is Cube still around?
Cube is now Pizza Romano. Same owner, different style of restaurant, but some of the same menu items, like the fried chicken.
So you ankled Cube and they went under.
No, I won't say that. They went through a couple chefs after I left, and I think the owner wanted to sort of change directions anyway. He's always talking about this concept, so he's a good guy.
Speaking of changing directions, what was Franklin like in college? Like, specifically, I want you to describe his hairstyle.
It's a food show.
Oh. Total hippie.
Yeah.
Long hair.
Yeah.
Squinty eyes.
Right.
That's racist.
That's true. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
You're being kind. I had dreadlocks.
Well,
put it out there.
Because you were super fucking high the whole time, dude. That's why you're squinty-eyed,
yeah.
Not because your racial background.
I wasn't born half Asian. I just smoked so much weed, I turned out
yeah.
this.
Oh, boy. And what was his love life back then?
Mm.
Get as specific as possible. Name names, please.
Oh. Really?
I'm
going to let him take
it was,
that.
Yeah, I was desperately trying to have sex at any opportunity I could.
Okay. Heather, if you're listening, this is your husband, Franklin Hardy, speaking on the radio. This is Culinary's Radio. Anyway, continue.
All right. So that was a good little segue into Veal Parmstrong's college love life, which is really what our listeners tune in for.
You already brought up that I was a poet in college. I mean, we're learning more about my college days than anything having to do with food.
Right. So I kind of covered that joke ground. But
what, just
because
a guy likes poetry can't start some shit?
Okay. All right. Let's one person on the mic at a time. Aaron, let me ask. So after Cubed, where did you go? Because
this
cube's is big.
Single. It's just one cube.
Cubed?
Yeah.
Cube.
Cube. Oh. Like a square, but 3D.
Like a cube of cheese.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I never went there.
Get it?
So after you fled Cube, mm-hmm. where did you land?
So I started at Milo and Olive. So, and I've been there almost 4 years.
Milo or Milo?
It's just Milo. Milo, like Milo.
Right. Like mm-hmm. the only way anyone who's normal
right.
would pronounce it.
Right.
Okay. Are
Unless
you sure
you're
about that?
Milo Kunis, whatever her name is.
Mila Kunis?
Yes. I think people say Milo. Because of that.
So how many years have you been there? At M&O, which is what I call it.
4 years. Start in July.
And who do you hate there the most? Just kidding. I'm assuming you love it there.
I do. I love it there. It actually is the best job I've ever had. And
That's
I'm not
wonderful.
Just saying that. It really is. It's a fun,
so nice.
Fun place to work. The owners are cool. The staff is cool. The vibe is cool.
And Milo Notice is part of a restaurant family. I said it right, right? Didn't I just say it right?
Olive, Milo and Olive.
Oh, my God. I did see Milo.
Yeah.
I did that joke earlier, and now it's stuck in my head. I'm sorry. I do love that movie, actually.
That's a great movie.
So you started there. That's part of a restaurant family. That's the Rustic Canyon group of restaurants.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many restaurants is that?
So we have, we have Rustic Canyon, mm-hmm. and Esther's, Casilla, Huckleberry, Milo and Olive, Sweet Rose Creamery Ice Cream, which has a couple locations, and just opened Tallulah's. Actually, Tallulah's opens on Tuesday.
Lovely.
So good,
what
good
is
bunch.
Tallulah's?
You heard it here first.
Tallulah's is an awesome Mexican restaurant that's opening on Tuesday, and it's on Entrada, and it's the old Merrick's location, so it's a cool spot.
And we're pleased to announce we have a special offer for all Culinary's Radio's listeners. They get 50% off their entire meal if they go to Tallulah's and say Culinary's Radio. Is that correct?
That's not true.
Oh, that I'm sorry. What? Was I misinformed?
Yeah.
Lane will cover the other half.
Yeah.
Personally.
We'll give his
Just
cell phone number.
Venmo to Lane Needler, and I will Venmo you back. How does Venmo work?
How has Milo Notice changed over the years since you've been there?
Was that for real?
Sorry.
That was a real question.
Was it a real
Olive.
Joke?
Milo and Olive.
Hold it.
The Otis thing.
I meant.
Okay, this is the last time we let Duncan smoke weed before he comes to the studio. This is getting ridiculous.
Let's just keep saying Milo and Otis.
I'm just going to respond as if it's Milo
okay,
and Olive.
Yeah, I'm having some kind of. I think it was. I think it was the lamb's feet.
Don't blame the peppercorn.
The Szechuan.
I'm sorry, I slapped you, buddy. Are you okay?
I am. I really didn't realize I said that.
I slapped you right there in the ribs. I'm sorry. Are you okay?
I'm so distracted. What
Give
was the question?
Kiss.
I wanted to know since you've been there 4 years ago. Which how has it changed? How's the restaurant changed?
Well, we doubled the size.
Okay.
So that was a big change. We have a whole handmade pasta recipe or spot on the menu now. And
is that your baby?
I love handmade pasta. It's my favorite. I have the best guy that does all. He just literally comes in and he just rolls pasta for 8 hours every day. That's
his
job. His name is Rafa, and
Sounds
he's
awesome.
The best pasta guy ever.
Do you and your husband ever go out to dinner? Do you guys ever get a chance to get away?
We do. But
where do you guys go?
It has to be within a 5-mile radius of our apartment.
Of course.
Yep.
B, for you reading questions off my laptop, because that was my question.
And all these questions are so boring. So you have two small kids.
I do.
Tell us about them.
Eloise is, she's going to be 9
They're
in
adorable.
August. They are. They're the best.
They are, but that question I stuck.
We're going to put up a picture on culinarsradio.com of your
Great.
Two kids.
Perfect.
Right? Is that a weird thing? I don't think so. They're adorable. Look at them. I'm looking at them right now. Oh, my God. They're so cute.
They are super cute.
Yep. They're the best.
So you guys go out occasionally.
We We go out occasionally, yeah. I don't work nights anymore.
I never go out.
So great.
If my wife is listening to this, and I know she isn't, we never go out.
Yeah, it's hard to go out.
My mom is probably listening to this. Hi, Mom. And anytime I do get to go out, it's because my mom watches the kids, which is nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where Lane goes out when he does go out a little bit. Lane, you and I had a special lunch. I'm sorry, I did it again. Beef Erickson, we had a special lunch this week. Where'd we go? We had a Culinaire's lunch that we didn't invite Veal to.
Yeah, this was a fantastic thing we did. So, Aaron, I don't know if you've ever been to the Los Angeles Police Academy diner.
No.
Which is on the grounds of the Los Angeles Police Academy up on Academy Way.
Recently reopened.
Next to Dodger Stadium. It is terrible. I do not recommend it. But we had a lot of fun. And everything has a really punny, sort of funny name. So I had the Sleeps with the Fishes tuna melt, which I think is kind of wildly inappropriate for like a police, right?
I had the Smoking Gun chicken sandwich.
If you guys go on our Instagram page, you'll see all the other punny names.
We also had buffalo wings with no cute name.
But yeah, go on Instagram. Also, maybe I'll just take a quick moment to say, if you've listened this far, God bless you. I love you. Please go on our Instagram, on our iTunes, rate and review us. And I'm getting the high sign here, and I'm being pulled off. What's going on?
No, you're not being pulled off. I'm just going to squeeze in here, just like farting into the microphone. Probably isn't the best radio. But anyway, we had a good lunch. We had a lot of fun. I had some great dinners this week. I'm a big fan. It's not Culinaire's under the radar, but I'm a big fan of Bar Angeles and their Salsa Verde pizza, so I'm going to give them a little plug.
You know.
And I'm also going to say I didn't get to go because I was very busy with some hot, sexy plans, but I think Veal and Beef went someplace on Friday. It sounded kind of interesting. I was jealous. I wanted to go. Veal, why don't you tell us about it?
We went to the Ace Hotel. There was a...
Who's Veal?
That's me. And Lane's wife was nice enough to get us into a talk about food waste. Hosted by Jonathan Gold, featuring Suzanne Milliken, mm-hmm. Mario Batali, Roy Choi, Dominic Kren, Massimo Bottura. A couple of those are hard, but I got them.
Sounds
They're
good.
All big-time famous chef though. People, and they talked about food waste. And we also got to eat a wheel of Parmesan that was brought from Italy.
Great.
30 months old.
Massimo.
50-year-old balsamic.
Massimo is personally cutting slices of cheese off this wheel.
That balsamic was like the yummiest, richest, syrupy.
And it was his
it was
family's
amazing.
Balsamic, right? It was 50 years old. It was balsamic production. It was amazing.
And look, we waste way too much food, guys. We can't waste all this food.
What do we do? How do we stop it?
We got to put it in boxes. We got to take it home. We got to order less. And we got to clean our plates. And
I'm getting ready to a can in a week, and it's so ridiculous, the portion size differences when you go to Europe, right?
I want to hear Aaron's take on this food waste in the restaurant industry in general. Thoughts?
There's too much.
Well put.
Oh!
There's a lot.
But
as chefs, we do what we can.
Of course.
Also to help our food cost, not to... have too much waste.
At Milo and Olive, you guys are not doing that. It's more like IHOP is the problem. You know what I mean? Like when you go to a place and they're like, and here's a side of 9 pancakes. It's just like ridiculous. You know, like that's the sort of thing the rest of the world doesn't do. The rest of the world's like, here, eat this, feel happy afterwards. Whereas America, they're like, here, eat this, feel so bogged down, you'll never eat again.
I don't know. I mean, in the talk, these like Mario Batali was talking about, it's up and down the whole spectrum, and that the problem is trying to make your diners feel like they came to a nice restaurant and they need to get their money's worth, but then also not okay. giving them so much food that they're never gonna finish it anyway. Aaron, what do you think about that?
I agree. The last thing you want is for someone to walk away saying that was too expensive and I'm still hungry. So it's a tough balance because you have to have the appropriate amount of food, and you have to price it properly, and the customer has to feel satisfied. But also, you know, you kind of leave it up to your servers to let you know if there are plates coming back with a lot of food on them.
That's well put, yeah.
Eyes and ears, hey, no one's touching the butter on this. Maybe don't put it. Maybe ask if they want it. Or, you know, every time I take this salad away, half of it's still on there.
Because it could easily be a race at the bottom where just like everyone just piles more and more food on, and then you just have like, yeah, this gross sort of situation.
By the way, my wife, Heather, who listens at home and fact checks everything we say, says Sue Ann Milligan. I think I said Suzanne Milligan. It's Sue Ann. Everybody knows. I knew that. I
misspoke. Shout out to our only listener, Heather McCallum.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. We appreciate you tuning in to the radio.
She'd be a much better host of this show than any of us.
Mom, if you're listening, can you text me right now? And let me see if she texted. Nope, no text at all. So.
Hi, Heather.
Aaron, I've got a weird question. Open kitchen at Milo.
Yes.
Did you ever get nervous?
I did at the beginning, because there's always that person that sits at the counter, and when you're super slammed and you're looking at like 100 tickets and everybody wants, you know this and a little side of that, and you're trying to keep track, and the person in front of you is like, how do you guys make pasta?
That would be beef.
Yeah, and then they continuously ask you questions. So it's kind of nice, you know, it's shows they're interested, but it's hard, and it makes you nervous because you're going to make mistakes and you don't want to say the wrong thing. And but I'm more nervous now.
So we're going to do a no. We're going to do a follow-up interview where we all sit at the open kitchen and throw questions at you.
Perfect. Wait, you say more nervous now on the radio right now?
Mm-hmm.
You're not. What are you talking about? Nobody's listening to this.
She's nervous because you're screaming at her. That's what's making her nervous.
It's making me.
Who am I screaming at?
It's specifically you that's making me nervous.
Okay,
I see.
Our Twitter's blowing up, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, what are they saying, Duncan? What are you getting?
Well, I've got my own questions for Aaron, so we're not going to field the public yet.
Okay, you brought it up,
So I know, but sometimes I bring things up and then I don't follow through. So at Milo, you're chefing, and what about the rest of the week? Are you just chefing there? Have you spread out any plates else?
So I spend what should be half my time at Huckleberry, and the other half at Milo. Right now, I spend more time at Huckleberry just because there's more to do right now.
Because you're ramping it up.
And also, shout out to my chef, CDC Jen, who runs Milo with an iron fist.
She's not listening.
No, she's not. She might, though. I bet she will.
If we emailed her a link to this, she might listen to it. Yeah. And if she does.
I'm trying to remember what CDC is from our dinner.
I hate myself.
Yeah.
The person that runs the show when I'm not there. Or not me specifically, but gotcha. The chef.
Are you at all worried about the fact that that also is an acronym for the Centers for Disease Control?
I've thought about that. No one's ever brought it up except for you.
Okay, well, I'm glad I did.
Has anyone ever called your restaurant Milo and Otis before?
Yes.
Three times in a row?
Just here.
So, I was going to derail it again, but Duncan, keep us on track here, buddy. Come on.
Let me ask you the question that I always like to ask our chefs. How much have you had to deal with waiter actors?
That's the question you always like to ask your chefs?
Yeah, I like to ask it.
It's the worst question I've ever heard in my life.
I think it actually might turn out to be fairly interesting.
Chefs.
You know,
okay. Yep.
No, you mean like servers chef. That are actors?
I mean actor waiters. This is a very different
type of
restaurant town where the front of the store is sometimes populated with people who have other interests, and I can see that being possibly difficult.
It's not my problem, so I don't usually worry about it, because it's usually a scheduling conflict when it's like,
she's
She's
high fucking level, man.
Not an interview. What do you call it when you go to try out for
an audition?
Audition, that's right. But the places that I work, that's not a thing, really. Come I don't know on, why. Man. I mean, I don't think we're that
she
restaurant that
deal
has
with that shit.
We have foodies. Foodies that work at our restaurant.
It's a different.
Some Michelin star fucking staff.
It's an outdated cliche because these days.
It's like on that level. I mean, because, like, all right. I don't want to get into the whole Michelin star Los Angeles.
The difference is that these days people get into restaurants because food is so hot. In such a big deal, they want to work in the food world. They're not doing it as a side gig while they're trying to become an actor. They are. There's some of them, but much less so because food is much cooler now than it was a couple decades ago.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Veal and Aaron. That turned out to be a pretty good question, I think.
But
yeah,
also,
food has definitely gotten a lot more popular recently.
I will say Milo and Olive is not an easy waiter job. It is tough. It is not. You don't have bussers and runners. You're sweating and clearing tables, and if you're too cool for school, it's not going to be a good job for you. So these are hard-working foodies.
Would you hire me?
Yes.
How much you pay?
Minimum wage.
Plus?
Tips.
Not minus tips?
Plus tips.
I have a question, Aaron.
All right, you know what? I accept.
I have a question. You have Sunday and Monday off.
That's right.
So it's Sunday night, not tonight, but a different one. And you don't have to work tomorrow. What are you cooking up at home?
Tonight, actually, I made for my kids and my husband pesto with broccoli and just
you gotta get those veggies
garlic
into those kids.
Bread. That's right.
Is this the broccoli was in the pesto?
Yeah, and that was a problem. There was a big thing about the broccoli mixed in with the pasta. They wanted it separate. They didn't want the pesto on the broccoli.
So did you
fucking kids.
Wait, the broccoli was blended up with the pesto?
No.
Or was it like just pieces of broccoli
yes.
with a pesto sauce?
Chunks.
What if you blended the broccoli with the pesto and you had a broccoli pesto?
That would be delicious.
You can have Monday morning quarterback in? Come on.
No, I'm just saying. You can. That could be good. You should
yes.
try that.
Broccoli pesto sounds delicious.
And the kids wouldn't know.
That's true. But they're cool with the green pesto. It's just they didn't want the broccoli mixed in. They wanted it separate. It was a whole thing.
I'm so fat right now because all I do is make these dishes for my kids, for my daughter. Where it's just like, here's like macaroni and cheese, like
so
drowned
good.
In butter, like whatever you want. Please eat a mouthful. And she's like, no. And I'm just like, okay, I'll just eat it all.
Back to the food waste.
And that just happens to me 9 times a day.
All right, let me reframe my question. Kids are...
the worst.
They're gone, okay?
Oh.
They're with their grandma. And it's just you and Rick at home. What are you cooking for dinner?
Good question.
I'm making a steak. We're having, and then so recently we discovered
how do you
that
cook it.
That's what I want to know too. What steak and how do you cook it?
Okay, we're gonna get a New York strip, and it's gonna be just salt and pepper, lots of salt, and on the grill, medium rare, sliced. That's how I like it. I like to have a lemon wedge on the side.
Are you going high
Holy
heat?
Holy shit, that sounds good.
First and then like a slow cook or
no,
reverse
I'm
or just
heat
a
the
sear?
Whole time. I want to sear it. And I want it super pink in the middle. And we have a really good grill.
Butter, olive oil, anything like that on it?
Nothing.
No, really?
Straight up.
It doesn't stick to the grill?
No. Because it has a lot of fat. New York strip, if you get a good marble one, has a lot of fat. Mm. In fact, so much fat that it flames up all over it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do baked potatoes. And then we're going to eat the baked potatoes. And then we're going to take the potato skins back out to the grill, turn it back on, and throw
Whoa.
It to the grill. And it's going to get crunchy. And then you're going to put more butter and salt on it and eat it.
Holy shit.
It's so good.
Holy
that happens
shit.
As like a second
yeah.
course, as a separate course?
Yes, it has to be a second cooking.
You know what, guys? I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say Aaron's the best guest we ever had in the show.
What goes on the baked potato?
Only butter and salt because that's what he likes. But I like Greek yogurt and salt.
Wait, what? Heather just texted me. She said lemon wedge. What does that mean?
A lemon wedge. I like to squeeze fresh lemon on my steak.
I will tell you right now, and this is why Heather texted me. We were in Palm Springs. We went to some steakhouse called like Lion Steakhouse or something. I don't know. She'll text me in a second. And they served the New York strip with a grilled, like a charred lemon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
and
I
the
like
guy
that.
Was like, squirt it on your steak. And I was like, what the fuck? And he was like, trust
it's
me.
It's the best thing ever.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It's
I like was drunk, but it was really good.
Bistecca Florentina. It's like
you
the,
were
when
drunk?
When you're in Italy, they'll serve you a big steak with a lemon wedge.
It blew my mind. And then I was thinking, I was like, wait a minute. You put lemon on every other fucking meat that you eat. Why am I not putting it on my steak?
No, I swear.
So good. It's so good.
You guys got to try it. Because it's not overly lemony. It's
yeah.
just like a hint.
Yeah. So good.
It sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, wait. So you had steak and potatoes. Are there vegetables involved?
There might be a salad, like super simple. Sometimes if I feel motivated, I'll make like a Caesar salad, like a homemade Caesar salad.
What? And if not?
Anchovies?
No. I'm not, it's not my thing.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't like
it. I'm a big anchovies guy.
I don't
big
like
time,
them.
Big time.
In fact,
I'm with Aaron.
In fact, when I am at Milo and Olive and I have to open an anchovy pizza and the hot anchovy air comes up at me, it's a gag reflex
that
every time.
You're not
amazing.
A fish person.
What's that?
You're not crazy on fish.
I'm not.
Are you a little squeamish around some foods?
Very squeamish around a lot of foods.
You say squeamish or screamish?
I said both.
Feeling like both.
So this is Slurring Your Speech with Duncan Birmingham. If you're just turning in.
I want to get back to the salad real quick. So if it's not a Caesar, talk to me about the dressing that you are whipping up at home.
Olive oil, lemon, salt, pepper. That's it.
You like the basics. You keep it simple.
I'm a rustic Italian.
That's what's delicious.
I love it. All simple stuff.
That's how it works. Duncan, what are you doing, buddy?
Excuse me.
What are you doing over there?
Do you want to keep going with dead air or should I ask a question?
Well, I got something I want to talk about, but what the fuck are you doing over there?
Oh, man, with the F-bombs. All right, I guess my mom's not going to listen to this show.
Hello.
Aaron, it's almost... wasn't a joke. Aaron, it's almost summertime, and I heard a rumor that you love a nice summertime pizza.
I do.
Maybe on a grill. Yeah. Maybe you could give us a little recipe window into what you'd like for a summer pizza.
It's almost summertime.
I know what you're talking about. okay, so the salad that I do at Milo and Olive every summer that is like the big salad is tomato peach salad. It's my favorite thing in
tomato
the world.
Tomato peach.
And it's super simple, and you can use that really good balsamic that you love. Mm. And we just do fresh heirloom tomatoes and peaches, balsamic, basil, and...
You grill those peaches?
Nope. Just
raw?
Raw. And good salt, good olive oil.
Man, that sounds good.
And...
I don't hear a cheese.
Some sort of burrata, or you could do like a buffalo mozzarella.
If you're listening to this,
and you
you're
put it on
like
a pizza, and you grill it, and it's
bag
bomb.
Of Doritos
that
or something right
amazing.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong
what
with
is,
you?
What is the one most important secret to a pizza crust?
That's a good question. Everyone knows when I work there that it has to have a puffy, sort of bubbly crust that kind of curls up, and it has to have a thin crust, but like the thin
So how do you
bottom.
Get that high heat?
The high heat, yeah. Our oven is like 700 about, and The crust recipe is Zoe's, not mine. It was there before I started, but it's a good combination of different flours. It has some rye. It has some wheat germ, so it has good chew to it. So it's like it's crispy crust, but it has like a soft, chewy middle and then a nice thin sort of bottom. And it's hard to get the thin bottom when you have, you know, a lot of ingredients, so we keep our pizzas kind of lightly topped. So that you don't sort of weigh it down and have it be soggy.
I want to write this down. That was a good question. Who asked that? Oh, I do.
You're so good at this. Do you do a lot of these, like, radio interviews?
No, stop.
No, I'm serious.
You really are.
I swear to God, you're the best guest we've ever had on this show. Not that bad, Matt, the other guests. I love you all. You're wonderful. But just you're, like, painting a picture of, like, I don't know.
I'm
hungry.
Pizza.
I would love for you to come in here next week and beef to get sick.
Who's beef? We only have a few minutes left here on Culinary Radio this evening, guys, so I don't want to step on anybody's toes.
So why don't I throw out a question
for
the
group? Are there big things that we haven't really stepped on lately that we want to get to?
Stepping on toes, but we're going to step on questions.
On toes,
why don't you just let me...
Why don't you just... Why don't what if we just did a thing... Okay.
So we're almost out of time. So let me just throw this out for the group. For the group. This isn't just for Aaron. This is for the Culinaires. What's your least favorite food trend of the moment?
It's two friends who have a radio show and they don't let the other friend join in.
I love that trend. Veal?
My least favorite food trend right now?
For me, it's overcharred. I love Brussels sprouts, but I think Brussels sprouts overcharred and served as an appetizer is a little overplayed. I also don't like donuts for dessert, but I know I might be alone with that.
I mean, I'm kind of done with kale.
Interesting.
I had too much.
You know what's super huge right now that I wish people would kind of get a little bit away from? And this is such a vague thing. It's hard to sort of criticize, but bowls. I feel like bowls are...
There's a lot of bowls.
It would have been really brave to bring that up last week when Jessica Coslow was here, but you didn't.
Aaron, least
I love
favorite
bowls.
Food trend. You're on the hot seat.
I cannot think of something. I'm thinking. I mean, I love kale.
Queso presa.
So it could be your favorite food trend, which is kale. So that's interesting. You and Veal are sitting right next to each other with two very polar opposite views.
See, I don't like this nickname thing because
it like
sounds like she's sitting next to a piece of veal.
Too, so I can see your point.
You don't like anchovies? Here's what I do with an anchovy.
They're gross.
No, they're so good. Take cauliflower and you saute it with some anchovies and crust of red pepper flakes. So good.
I see what you're talking about. It's just not for me.
But what about what about an anchovy paste that you can use in a pasta sauce that isn't so anchovy-y, but
as
you get a hint?
As you can't taste the anchovies. It's great. In fact, you know, we about a couple years ago, had to take the anchovies out of our tomato sauce for our pizzas because so many vegans were pissed about the anchovies.
That's outrageous.
Couldn't even taste
it.
I even liked
it.
Yeah. They weren't into it.
You're also, you have terrible taste.
You're in the kitchen. You're cooking. What are you jamming out to, if anything?
Oh, this is a great question.
Thank you.
All the things. I love different kinds of music.
So like White Power,
Fish,
rock mostly.
Grateful Dead.
Nice.
Steely Dan.
Ooh.
Is
there always music in your kitchen?
There's always music. It's not always my favorite music.
That's so nice.
Will you play the Culinaires radio show for the kitchen?
I might. No one would understand.
Yeah, do you guys play music in the kitchen at the restaurant? Or?
We do. We have. We do Spotify. So the servers get to kind of pick what they want. We do. We do Friday. We do hip hop. So we do like old school.
Nice.
Like Snoop Dogg. It's kind of fun. Yeah, it's always fun to see like 40-year-old women like mouthing all the lyrics to Snoop.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Biggest pet peeve from a customer that you get?
What do you mean?
Biggest pet peeve is, you know
like
what you should
customer's
do?
Customer's pet peeve or like your pet peeve of?
She's answering the question. She understands.
Erin understands the question, so that's all
I was asking you.
Do you have customers? Okay.
All right, explain to me.
Actually, this sounds kind of rude to say this, but there's a lot of suggestions. You know, you really should do this. And it's always
an anchovy.
Wait a minute. Now we're talking about broccoli pesto.
I did it.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm talking about when I'm like at work and I'm on the line and I'm busy and someone comes over and wants to make their suggestion about what you should do to make this dish better.
You should put more lemon in the fish.
More lemon. Lemon with the steak.
You should put more fish with lemon. What do they suggest? I don't know.
They suggest sliced chicken breast with the salads, which I don't want to do because
fucking
we're
idiots.
Not Fridays.
Seriously.
We're getting a Twitter comment. Great show.
No, we're not.
Why is all the swearing happening? And we can't wait to hear you guys next month. Lane has joke kissed me. How many times can you joke kiss me before it becomes a real kiss? Well, I want to thank our guest. Erin, you're amazing.
I'm so sorry you had to put up with all this nonsense.
This was
You've
so
been
fun.
Fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
We're
gonna,
so
we're gonna
great.
We're going to come to the West Side as a group. And just
do
we
it.
Need to have you back.
Do it.
Because honestly, you are really like one of the best guests we've ever had. You've painted such a beautiful portrait of food. And I'm sorry. These guys both give me the eye.
Well, you don't know, Erin, that we've done 6 shows. This is Lane's second show. And it's going very, very badly
and
for him.
Last. All right. Well, I think this has been a good show, guys. We want to sign off from K-Chung Studios. And everybody have some good eats this month. And we'll see you soon. Veal, play us off.